I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 454. We're getting the rock band back together. Girl Gaming, Tech Gadget, and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey, hey, hey.
How has your week been?
It is been...
Yeah, that.
It's been up, down, left, right, turn around, touch your toes.
Really?
Yes.
Turn around, touch your toes?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, well,
I've gone back to work, and my work involves a lot of movement.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't remember my day more as I remember what directions I was going in.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So there's
But not
that.
Bad. I mean, no bites, no scratches.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a positive week right there for you.
And I have a headache.
But, you know, headaches you can deal with.
Yes. Yes, you can, with booze.
Yep. I had a good week. Finally got my hands on a copy of Disney Infinity 3. So I'm going to be writing about that on the website pretty soon. And we'll probably talk about it on the podcast after I get a little bit deeper with it. You know, the Star Wars-y stuff. So that was a good up part of the week, you know, which was nice. Yogi Berra passed away. Was not. That came back down. Not cool. Pope came to the U.S., everybody was like, "Gonna Popa!" And, you know, it's good Pope, not bad Pope, so, you know, that was cool to see.
Wait, there's a bad Pope?
Yeah, the Pope before was not a good Pope.
Well, he gone now.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, you know, not bad Pope, good Pope.
Isn't this, like, the German Pope who's, like, super cool?
No. The German Pope was the not good Pope.
And this is the...
Argentinian Pope. He's a cool dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He did baby ditched out on a dinner with a bunch of politicians and instead went to go have dinner at a shelter with a bunch of homeless people. So we like an Argentinian Pope.
You can tell the type of person you are by the company you keep.
Exactly. So we like a Pope.
Well, I saw the clips of the Pope talking to Congress like, "Look, guys, there needs to be a dialogue here.
Y'all need to stop being douches. Can you stop being douches?"
You need to start talking to people because the earth is, you know, everybody's.
Right.
And we should come together.
It doesn't just belong to white Republicans, so can we?
There are black Republicans, too.
Ed. Enough of the politics. This podcast isn't about religion, and it's not about politics, unless they're depicted in video games and or anime, which that's what we're talking about on this show, and we are talking about games and time-permitting anime on this show. What? Right. What?
What?
What? What?
What?
So, first and foremost, I will let you know that there is going to be a 5 Minutes of Destiny segment on the show.
Okay.
So
good, I have my annoying buzzer ready. Do you want to do that now, just to get it out of the way?
No, I got other stuff. Okay. That we're going to talk about here. Yes, I'm positive. I'm absolutely 100% positive. Okay, so we will do and talk about our other things, and then later on in the show, when I'm feeling the urge, I'll scratch it then, and it's all good. So that, woogity woo. But first, I want to talk about game that I'm really pumped to get my hands on that is not Destiny.
Oh, right. You would think you were going to be like, hey, I never.
There are games other than Destiny, and I'm very, very excited about playing them, okay? You know how I feel about the new Tomb Raider game. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to get my grubby little paws on that game. I can't wait.
Then what are you?
So, you know, that's on my list of things that I'm very excited about. Like I said, I'm going to be playing Disney Infinity because I finally got my hands on that. And some figures, you know, starter kit, get my juices flowing and all that good stuff. Okay. So, what I want to talk about on this podcast is another game that I have coming in here pretty shortly. And that's Rock Band 4. This is where you're supposed to go, ooh, ah, you're falling down the job, Panda.
What? Sorry.
Focus, Daniel-san.
Well, no, I heard you. And inside, I was like, yay.
But you didn't say it outside. And this no, is an audio podcast, not a video podcast. And also, we can't see in your head. So, that.
Oh, God, if you guys could.
Yeah, no, it would be bad. It would be, they're
no, I'm happy for you that you're going to get Rock Band 4.
You should be happy for a lot of people because you need to play Rock Band 4. You missed out on being able to play Rock Band 4 because you didn't get to go to E3 this year.
Yes. Okay. Remind me of my shortcomings. Why don't you?
You know, it's what I do. But
that's why I remind you of your shortcomings.
Yes. It's what we do. It's how we keep each other in check or some shit like that. I can't remember. Anyway, Rock Band 4. For those who are not aware or don't follow the rhythm game genre, Rock Band 4, I think, is probably one of the predominant forces in why rhythm games became very popular and mainstream here in the U.S. outside of rhythm games in the arcade. That honor really goes to Rock Band and to Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero first, because that's what the team created first, and then when the split happened, they went on to then create Rock Band. And we do have a new Guitar Hero game coming, and when that one pops out, we'll be talking about it too. But Rock Band, for me, is a little bit more enjoyable as a group get-together game. It's the thing that I love to do the most with Rock Band. So in the game, you have a selection of songs that you can play, some that are free, that are on disc, that you get to play, and then there is an extensive store that you can go into and buy other tracks. And what I love about the Rock Band games is that there is a lot of diversity in the types of music that you can access and play in the game, so no one feels left out. It's not too heavy rock, there's some R&B, there's, you know, even modern pop in there, and so there's power ballads, death metal, there's a little bit for everybody, there's some country, like no one is left out, and the majority of the songs that are playable in the game take advantage of all of the instruments, including the vocal ones, so you do sing, so that no one really is left out of being able to play a song, with a couple of exceptions. I think from previous DLCs, there are some songs that, you know, just don't have a vocal track, they're an instrumental, so nothing for you to do there.
You're like Knights of Sidonia?
Right.
No way. Actually, there is.
No, there's
vocals at the very end.
Yeah. But there are plenty of various songs and ways to play for everyone involved. And I think that that's one of the things that attracts me over and over to the game. It's one of the reasons why I've missed it. Because the game has basically been on hiatus, is the nicest way to say it. Just nothing happening with Rock Band 3 for 3 years, other than every so often some additional tracks becoming available in the music store for Rock Band 3, which was on previous consoles, and the notification that there was some DLC that was about to go away because of licensing issues, so if you had purchased it before and didn't have it currently downloaded, you'd want to go ahead and download that because you probably weren't going to be able to do that again at another point. So in Rock Band, as far as instruments go, which I mentioned earlier, you have bass guitar, lead guitar, drums, and vocal. And there are instruments, plastic instruments, for each of these that have color coordination on them for the drums and whatnot, as well as on the guitars that you basically mimic. It's like a massive game of Simon. where to put your fingers or what pads to hit and beats to strum patterns.
I'll put my fingers.
I'm not saying anything to that.
Sorry.
Simulate playing that song live or singing that song live. So again, this is where having a lot of people over and everyone with different tastes, selecting different songs and playing things different ways, you just have a lot of fun because everybody lets their inner rock star out. And it's just, as a older adult, a fun let me be a kid moment. And it's really interesting for me to see the kinds of songs that my friends know, like, the back of their hands, because obviously that's stuff that really speaks to them. So it's interesting to see just how diverse a group of my friends can be when we're playing the game. Because there's all kinds of music in Rock Band, like I said. And I'm pumped to finally have it coming back after being gone, really, for 3 years. Because for me, I've mentioned it before on the podcast, when the new consoles came out, the current gen consoles came out, I got rid of my previous gen consoles. They all got retired. So a big chunk of my game library was not available to me. And a lot of people turned in their old libraries if they were moving to the new consoles. And I did not want to give up on my games. I held out hope, beyond hope, that Microsoft at some point would find some way to do some kind of backwards compatibility. And that same would happen for PlayStation, and it would not be just the now setup where I have to pay yet again for the honor for a limited time basis to play games that I already own. So I held on to all my games, including all my rhythm games. And when I say all my rhythm games, I mean all my rhythm games. I have all the Rock Bands, including Blitz, with the exception of the Green Day one.
You're not missing out on anything, though.
That's what I've been told. I have DJ Hero 1 and 2, and I have Guitar Hero 2, still in my library. I did trade in one way, way back in the day, and I also don't regret that decision. So I've been looking forward to Rock Band 4 since PAX East, when it was surprise announced, and I've talked multiple times about how excited I am to be able to bring my Ion Drum Rocker kit back up and be able to use it to play the new game when it comes out, and we're close to launch date. The game drops October 6th, and as we're getting closer and closer to launch, the team at Harmonix keeps releasing new DLC, song tracks that are going to be available in the game, ramping up, and every time I see a list, I just get more and more excited because it's really, really diverse, and at the same time, while I don't want to play every single song that's in a group, there are those that stand out in the announcement of like, oh my god, of course that should totally be in Rock Band and I can't wait to play that with my friends. Or I know exactly who is going to sing that song when they see it and they'll lose their shit when they see it when they come over to play. So what songs am I interested in playing, you might wonder? And what instruments are my
interested in playing? I want to know what things you're going to sing at the top of your lungs, because you don't come to sing unless you
know that you're going to open. I typically come to drum.
But if you're going to sing, it's because you know it inside and out, and it's like your jam.
It has to be like my jam in order for me to take the mic to sing. Or I need to be drunk.
That too.
That helps me get the power of vocalization, but otherwise I drum. What I am most excited to play, and then what I'm most excited to sing. Fair enough?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So what I'm most excited to play on the drums, first and foremost, anything by the Proto Men, I get excited by. So,
oh, they are so fucking cool to watch perform. Yeah.
And Light Up the Night is in Rock Band 4 by Proto Men, so I definitely want to play that. I definitely want to play anything by Queens of the Stone Age. And I preface this with most of my song library, because I bought a lot of songs in Rock Band between 2 and 3. The team has already said that your previous DLC, the majority of that you're going to be able to bring into the game. So there are songs on previous Rock Band that I'm going to mention as well. Like pretty much anything by Freeze Pop, Super Sprode.
Yes.
Yep.
That's Sophomore Rock.
Yeah. all over that. One that I'm going to be really crazy excited to play, but also sing, so this will make you happy, Panda, is Panama by Van Halen, because it's, it can't really be Rock Band without some Van Halen in there, and I am a child of the 80s, so that is going down.
I'm just glad that somebody else likes a band from that era of music, because I'm a big Def Leppard fan.
Yes, you are.
You like to remind me how that's, you know, not
necessarily... It really surprises me, though, that you're a huge Def Leppard fan. Like, that's the thing.
I love Def Leppard.
You were like, this big, though.
I know. But Photograph, it's my shit. Like, the minute I hear it, I just get transported to this place that I clearly wasn't.
Look, it's a good gym. I'm not going to knock
get
it.
Get my car and, like, drive in the sun.
It's good stuff.
Just want to wear a jacket.
Super Unknown by Soundgarden. Ooh. Definitely looking forward to playing that. Also looking forward to actually singing Uptown Funk. That's going to probably be one of my guilty pleasure songs.
No, really?
Yeah.
Along with everybody else?
You know, here's the thing. There are worse things, okay? Like, really and truly, there are worse things to want to sing in the world. All right. So, you know, as far as guilty pleasures go, like, it's pretty tame. Thank you.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Well, you were kind of insinuating, so let me just fix that for you. Other things that I definitely want to sing at the top of my lung from my previous games and DLC, Bohemian Rhapsody, because that's in there if you bought it, and you know I bought the Queen Pack, so I'm going to be singing the shit out of that. Also on my guilty pleasure list is Centerfold by the Jake Giles Band. That's going down. Probably one that most people wouldn't associate with me. I really, really like Tears for Fears.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. So I'm going to be singing the shit out of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. That's just a good time. Probably not going to be able to get me off of Just Like Heaven by The Cure. Yeah, so I'm really dating myself now. Because I'm like, all right, what else
do I have in my I'm not judging you all that much.
Definitely want to... Oh my god, no, it's just getting worse. Every song I'm like, okay, what else did I play a lot? I'm like, oh no. Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News.
It's hip to be square.
I wish that was in there. Maybe it'll come in a Huey Lewis pack. Because that would be awesome. But also, my opener for karaoke and, of course, Rock Band is Rehab by Amy Winehouse. I'm hopeful that there'll be more Amy Winehouse in Rock Band 4 as we move on, because that would be awesome. So that
what song, everything... Though? Like, if you could choose which Amy Winehouse song, that you'd like, which one would you want to
sing? I want Valerie. It's a fun one to drum. It's a good one for bass. And it's great to sing.
Alrighty.
So I'd want Valerie in there for Amy Winehouse. I think that I'd also want, me personally, Back to Black, but I don't really think that that's a party song. Like, it's not really the up-tempo, if you will.
Right. I know.
Kind of brings the mood down. I think everything that Fleetwood Mac did, that whole pack, that was a great one. I love singing Landslide, if I'm going to sing. I wish that the tracks from the Beatles Rock Band game would be playable, because I love drumming all the Beatles music. I know it's not, but I really wish it was. I'm also down with the Stevie Wonder music, you know, Superstitions in there from previous games, if you bought the DLC. And that is not as easy to drum as you think it is, or I thought it would be.
I was going to say, because I don't drum
usually. Yeah. Yeah, I thought Superstition would actually be easy to drum, and I was wrong. So playing that some more would definitely be enjoyable for me. I mean, the whole playing the game again with the new modes that are in it, which I'll talk about in a hot second, plus all this music, really excites me. I cannot wait to have this game in my hands. I pre-ordered it when I was at PAX East. With the exclusive pack Penny Arcade guitar. And so I'm really looking forward to that guy showing up and getting down on October, getting my drums out. I do know that I'm going to need some kind of, like, adapter, so I'm probably not going to be able to drum on day one, because I don't know if that adapter for my drum kit to make the 360 brain talk to my Xbox One, but I don't care. I will get it, and I will play it, because I'm just...
You will be happy, and the world will continue to spin.
Like, it will. It will, because I've missed rhythm games. You know, the majority of mobile games that I've picked up that I continue to play on my iOS or even on my 3DS, they're all rhythm-based games, because that's a hole that I have in my game log, backlog, whatever you want to call it. But as far as the games that I'm playing and what's available to me to play, rhythm is missing. You know, I'm make no bones about not being a fan of the Just Dance series of games. I think that they're fine. And I love how much kids seem to really like them, but I just don't enjoy playing Just Dance. I don't. And I do like Dance Central. It's a really fun workout, and I always break a really nice sweat, and I feel accomplished when I get, you know, a routine down, but that still is not the let your inner rocker out. That's let your inner dancer or choreographer out when you get to do your freestyles, and I like the whole let your inner rocker out. Also, the number two song that I'm going to play as soon as I can get it downloaded is going to be Are You Gonna Go My Way by Lenny Kravitz. That is fun as fuck to drum.
Are you gonna rock out till your fake cock comes out?
Yeah, pretty much. Or my dog just goes ape over my kick pedal and is like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't like it, and barks for like an hour and a half while I play games. But yeah, I'm going to rock out with my fake wang out. Because I enjoy it. It's fun. It lets me experience music in a different way. And I love, love, love experiencing music. You know, my day is not complete until I've listened to music or watched music videos or even just had a conversation about artists that I love or artists that my friends really love and enjoyed and get exposed to someone new and track down their music. Like, music is a part of my everyday life and it's missing in my game life. So I'm very excited about having it back because it's been gone for a long time and there hasn't been anything that has jumped up in its place on the consoles that satiated that need. And now to be on the heels of Rock Band 4 being ready to be in my little hands and also having Guitar Hero Live come out, I'm very excited, especially as both Harmonix and Activision have said that they really plan on making their games not, you know, games that have sequels and sequels and sequels, but they've both decided that they are basically going to be platforms. So what that means is that there's not going to be a Guitar Hero Live 2 or a Rock Band 5, but what they will continue to do is continue to update these versions and add more features and more songs and more gameplay modes and things like that. So Rock Band is about to be a platform of itself, in its own right. And the same thing is about to happen to Guitar Hero, and really should, because they are, at least in my mind, platforms. Like, we've done the path of Rock Band where it was, hey, you can get a pro level instrument, and if you really want to practice, you can learn proper fingering for guitar to play chords correctly. And you could theoretically use Rock Band to teach you the basics of how to play guitar, which was awesome. You could buy a stringed Squiercaster, which I still kick myself for not purchasing. It's one of the only instruments that I really wish I had been able to track down and purchase.
The Biffle bought a pro guitar.
Stringed or the Mad Catz one?
The stringed one.
Well, damn. The one that looks like a Fender?
Yeah.
Where'd he find it?
The internet.
Fucking internet. I was looking for one, and all the ones that I found were like $500, and I was like, no, I don't want it that much.
Well, it's not new, it's used.
Right.
But we got one.
Yeah. I need that in my life. Because I did not want the Mad Catz buttoned one. But with the new modes that are in the game, and I talked a little bit about that before when we talked about Rock Band 4 at PAX East. And I got to spend some more time with the game at E3. And I got to tell you, the way that they've changed the freestyle section, you know, where previously you just mashed a lot of buttons to try and get points and you always made sure that you hit the last note so in the section so that you got them all. They've completely changed that around now. And so you actually, the fingering movements that you make and strumming movements that you make play a freestyle. So you are actually even more of a rocker at that moment than before. And it's not just about the points that you're going to accrue for doing stuff. It really is about the performance. So they've kind of gone back to the core mechanics of the game, which is nailing sections of a song, having fun doing it, and looking like a fucking rock star while you do it. And man, oh man, I'm pumped. I'm so ready for Rock Band to be back. I'm going to be singing the shit out of Birth in Reverse by St. Vincent. I'm glad
to see it got in there because I love it.
So cool to see St. Vincent stuff in there. And I think that as the game launches, you're going to see more artists bringing their stuff to the platform. You know, stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think of as being prime Rock Band content, but it is. Like, I think that Kendrick Lamar's I would work really well because of the guitar licks from sampling the Isley Brothers. You got a great drum line in there. You got a whole lot of people that think they know all the words of that song and they don't. And I think that's one of my more favorite things to do, especially as people start drinking in the night and playing Rock Band. As people line up songs that are really difficult and have crazy lyrics that everybody knows has crazy lyrics, and they're like, nah, I got this. And then it's just epic fail. And it's just so much fun to then see, like, who can get close or not. You know, I'm pumped. I'm ready. My body's ready. My fingers are ready. I need Rock Band in my life. Now. But I gotta wait.
Well, it's two coming. More weeks.
Yeah, it is. Two more weeks.
Closer and closer.
Getting ever closer. I can't
wait to hear how the anticipation, how it's going to build in you by next week's show.
I'm probably just going to be like, is it Rock Band yet, though? But is it Rock Band yet?
That's the title of next week's show.
It probably is. So that's what I got. Rock Band 4, I need it in my life. So if you could just hurry up and make that happen, Harmonix, I would be really, really appreciative. And you would see it in my face because I would put my photo on my Facebook and on my Twitter, and it would be like that kid that went around in the meme of like fucking loving the color. That'd be my face, but it's drums.
You're like, I fucking love drumming in Rock Band.
Yeah, that'll be it. Like, I will probably have you come over, Panda, to take the photo of me in my living room on my drums, and I'll just have my face cocked to the side like, ah!
Isn't that your everyday face anyway?
No, actually, it's not my everyday face. Oh. I actually live with resting bitch face, so...
Don't we all?
We do. It's, you know, it's hereditary. What are you going to do?
I've tried very hard to get away from my resting.
You can still have an active and productive life with resting bitch face.
People just think I'm tired or angry all the time.
I have resting bitch face, but it doesn't keep me from going to the movies with friends, going to weddings, having parties. You know.
Do you know the last time I had a game night? Here at the house. Like, we're playing a game.
It's everybody's a fun having game, a good time.
And, like, I just start to get tired. And, like, I feel, and this is the funniest thing, is I feel my face sinking. And I'm like, oh no, it's coming. And, like, that whole, you know, da na na na, na 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 song is starting to play in my head as I feel my face, like, losing its hold. And a friend of mine starts to slowly look at me, and then she gets this puss on her face. And I'm like, before you ask, I'm tired. And like, she was like, I was about to say, I'm like, I know. I now have a bitchy face, but I'm tired. That's it.
That's all it is.
I'm going to pumpkin soon. I am not mad. I'm not sad. I am just lacking energy. But I did kind of come off a little defensive. So I'm sure she didn't actually believe me. But it was... It's hard to live with it every day because no one trusts what you say because your face says something different.
I have resting bitch face, but it doesn't have me.
Oh, that's a, I want to make an inspirational poster like that.
Yeah, you need to.
Should.
With that's your resting bitch face. And I'll just be in the back. You
with
know,
your resting bitch face.
With my resting bitch face. And then everybody's good. What do you have for the people, Panda?
So, I've been playing Destiny like you have. Not to the same extent, however, but I don't, finally was like, I need to take a break so I don't fall
really? Because you haven't been playing with me. We had two dates and you bailed on both of them, but whatever, I'm not salty about it.
Yes, you are. You're salty like a pretzel. Anyway.
I'm salty like a fish in the sea.
You're so soft. Never mind.
Anyway, and then the podcast turned into a bunch of your mama jokes.
Which is sad because our mommy is dead. Anyway.
Why did you do that?
Because that's where I go when someone says something like that. Everybody. But anyway, I decided to step away from playing Destiny. And that I was like, I need to watch something.
Right.
Because the Death Note live action finally finished. It was amazing.
Awesome.
And they just released as of Friday, the Friday before the show even gets put on iTunes.
You're about to get YouTube. I'm like, we don't do video yet.
Yes. But the final episode, or at least the season, the arc ender for Food Wars doesn't hit until...
already watched it.
No!
Yeah, I won't say anything.
I'm going to be watching it later, just right now, if I try
to... Right now is podcast.
Well, no, not even that. Like, I tried to watch it when it officially came on, but eerily enough for me, when I try to, the minute it pops up, it's either blurry and in Spanish or blurry. And I'm like, I didn't do well in Spanish to be able to. And the picture's so blurry, I can't just watch it to, like, fake it. So I wait until the next day. But I've been waiting for that episode to come out because, you know, you gotta see what someone's gonna cook in the autumn elections. And this is the episode that's gonna happen in. So I was like, let me find something else. And you had mentioned this series a while ago. And it was in my queue of stuff to watch. And then a friend of mine was like, you need to watch it. And conveniently enough, when this friend was like, you need to watch this thing, I had just started the first episode. So I want to talk about my obsession with Roka, Braves of the Six Flowers.
Oh my God, you finally watched that?
And I marathoned the whole fucking
thing. I talked about that on the podcast. I'm like, and I remember saying, this is so up your alley, Panda. You need to watch this.
MG, it totally
Why
is.
Why don't you listen to me at the
I
time?
Do listen to
no,
you.
No, you don't. It's not until That's one of your not... friends tells you and they're like,
oh, I was my already watching it when they told me to watch it.
Whatever, I'm gonna sip my tea and turn to
you,
the side.
You sip your tea then.
Hashtag salty.
Anyway, so I literally blew through this because at first when Ninja brought it up, I was like, okay, this does kind of sound like something I would like.
Yep.
Because, you know, you've got your journey, your group of misfits coming together to fight this overlooming threat to mankind. Tensions are boiling between people and, you know, it kind of reminded me of Fushigi Yugi Light because this is not 42 episodes long. Thank God. But anyway... So in Roka, essentially, there is this legend of this angel, this goddess of fate, who had come down to the world because this demon god had began to wreak havoc, and this fate, this saint, if you will, casted it away, but couldn't completely kill it, but pushed it to the far ends of the earth or wherever the mystical land is, and she had prophesied that. It couldn't die, but it could be put to sleep. And I will essentially send people, braves, warriors, yep. who will have my abilities to drive the evil back every so many years. Apparently, it seems like the loop is every 300 years, the demon wakes up. And at that point, six people will be deemed braves, and they will get this petal symbol on a part of their body. Sometimes it's their hand, sometimes it's their shoulder blade, sometimes it's right... in the degluteal area. Sometimes it's on the inner thigh of your leg type of deal. In this universe, women who have extreme talents in magic, it seems, primarily. Though in this series, we actually see someone who has an ability that I wouldn't necessarily deem magical right off the bat. It's more of a science fusion, but I'll get into that.
Yeah.
Women have the ability to be saints. Men cannot.
Nope.
And these saints have an unrivaled ability. But there can be male braves, just so that you know. And not all saints become braves either.
Yeah, but try to keep all that straight in your head.
It's like, so saints are super powerful. But it was really funny, because when this first happened, I'm like, so why don't all the saints, even if they're not braves, just, you know, go to this place and kick this demon's ass? Like, there are all these women, these kick-ass women who could do these amazing things. But anyway.
But there are only so many saints that retain power at one time.
Right, that's true. So, but there can be more saints than braves. Yep. Men can be braves, but they can't be saints.
Okay.
And in the first episode, we literally get put into this town area called Piana. And there's this big festival of, you know, trying to show your strength to this giant goddess statue in hopes that you will be chosen to be a brave. And there's this really old tactician guy and this big muscly guy, and they're about to fight in front of the king and his daughter, who is also kind of a warrior that you don't really get to see her face at first. But it's like this big celebration. It's this big to-do. And right when they're about to fight, this guy just kind of jumps in out of nowhere. And his name's Adlett Meyer. And he is totally my type of guy. He is like if the chick from Kaleidostar, Sora, were a dude. And Cirque du Soleil was fighting. His enthusiasm matches hers, toe to effing toe. And he pretty much bombs this ceremony, this festivity, and he claims that he's the strongest man in the world, and he's come to prove it so that he can become a brave, because that's all he wants to do in his life. And no one thinks that he is, because, like, these other guys are muscly, and they're big, and they're threatening-looking, and he's got this, like, nice, like, ombre hair, like it goes from like this red to like this orange to like blonde at the bottom. Like, I actually like what they're doing with hair in these last few seasons that we've seen in anime. They're really experimenting with stuff. And he's lanky and he's thin and he doesn't look like he has much muscle, and he carries around this giant bag on his back. Well, he's an excruciatingly calculating, like, tactician, and he has learned so many different types of techniques to take out these demons and these Oni that are, like, swarming all over the place. And he literally beats the crap out of these two men with all these little tricks and stuff. Like, he barely puts a hand on anyone. Like, it's all bombs and smokes and evasion and, you know, really figuring out what his opponent's strengths are so that he can find a way to pretty much dehinge them. And he does it flawlessly. Like, it's actually quite a spectacle. But as he does that, he kind of gets overthrown because everyone's like, you're ruining our festival and blah, blah, and they throw him in jail. And when he goes to jail...
Because he's the strongest man in the world and, you know.
You know, but he gets captured, so clearly he's not the strongest man in the world.
That's what he keeps saying, though.
But while he's in prison, and he's in there for a while, this maid shows up, and she's just like, you were really impressive out there, and blah, blah, and she's just overly cheeky, and she seems really happy, and I had a feeling that she was the princess before they even revealed that she was, because I'm like, none of the other, like, bad guys, the criminals who are down there, are like, they all got really quiet when she showed up, which, like, for me, I'm like, why'd they all get quiet? They were all super rowdy before she walked in. Like, they have this weird air of respect. I'm like, it's because she's the princess, duh. But does our main character know that? No. He has no clue. He's an idiot. Anyway, he tells her a little bit of his backstory about why he so desperately wants to be, like, a brave, and how it doesn't matter because he's going to be chosen. And, like, he is so certain. He is such a fool that he is so certain of his destiny that it's like he strongly won't believe that it couldn't happen. And she kind of goes off and doesn't really say anything about that. And they move him to this little solitary confinement type thing where literally he's in this hole in the ground. And while he's in there, he's just training. Because he's just waiting for the demon lord to wake up. Because it's any day now at this point.
And he's absolutely sure that he's going to hit the mark.
He is so 100% sure. Like, you're kind of like, oh, man, I kind of hope he doesn't get it just to see what his reaction would be. Yep. But then there'd be no story. But anyway,
there would be
as it happens, all this other stuff's been going on. And there have been there's been these targeted murders of other people who were Braves before, Saints before, or are Saints still. Because some Saints have retained their power even after the deed has been done.
Right.
And some of them are just really too old. So, like, the likelihood that they would be marked again as a Brave is slim because of age and stuff like that. But all of a sudden, all these murders and disappearances of potential new Braves and really powerful Saints has been happening. And you don't think it ties into stuff, but you actually find out later on that they do. But lo and behold, Demon God totally wakes up and the marks start going out. And sure enough, our protagonist totally gets one. And right when he gets one, he meets his very first Brave, who was the maid he saw maybe, I want to say maybe 10 days after they threw him into that pit. And oh my God, she's got bunny ears, and she has this weird bunny armor, and she has this weird, like, conductor thing that lets her make blades. Oh wait, she's a saint, and she's a princess, and she also has a mark on her deglutat.
You can't say Chevalier Dion, but you can say Degletage.
Chevalier Dion!
I can't even with you. I can't even with you.
But on her
name is Nasha Tanya, by the way.
Yeah, Naughty Tanya.
No.
Naughty Tanya.
Not Naughty Tanya.
She's Naughty Tanya.
And Adelette.
Anyway, I'm going to say how I'm going to say it. But she's like, oh, by the way, I'm a Brave, and I'm also the Saint of Blades. Look what I can do. And, like, with the wave of her little conductor wand, she can, like, summon blades that could pierce just about anything.
Yeah, she's like Mad Maestro, but with...
but with blades.
Armor-piercing blades.
And, like, her whole army is like, oh, well, we have to send you off. And she's like, fuck that noise. And she pretty much traps all of them in the hole that they've had Adelette in. And, like, he gets out, and they, like, steal horses, and they go riding off into... the forest, because they have to meet at this little neck of land that leads from the mainland to the, like, land of the howling monsters, and that's where, like, the demons and stuff kind of hang out. And all the Braves are meant to meet at this little neck before they go in to battle the demon god. And everything seems well and good. You know, Adelette is telling, you know, Naughty Tanya all about, you know, how he learned what he has learned. And, like, she's kind of coming off a little too clingy, you know, but she's a princess. She's never really left the palace, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God, this is a lemon. Let me drink it. Like, it's kind of weird. But obviously, if you've never left one place, of course, walking into another place would be kind of a culture shock for you. And they encounter, like, their first real fight with, like, demons. And she's actually kind of struck with some fear because she's never taken life before. And, you know, Adelette's no... this isn't his first rodeo, so, like, he goes to it, and he does what he needs to do, and they come to this village, and people are running from it, and they're like, oh, well, there's a girl there, and, like, she didn't leave when we left, and because he's the strongest man in the world, he's gonna go in there and save her, because only he can, because he's the strongest man in the world.
Right.
You haven't figured out, this is a running gag throughout the entire thing. All this man says, essentially, is that he's the strongest man in the world.
But and then you learn later on that there's a reason.
Either he proves it or he doesn't. And most of the time he proves it by the skin of his teeth, though. But
yeah, but the reason for it and why, you learn
it's that. It's highly motivating and highly
deep. And, like, very. I got a little misty. I'm not going to lie.
It's actually really good. But so he ends up running into the town. And he comes to, like, this mill area, and he sees this girl with, like, white hair and, like, white eyes, and she's kind of albino, and she barely wears anything, and she's holding this dog. She has this giant gun. And, like, he kind of got that weird eye flicker in his eye, like they do in most animes, where he's like, I'm in love. So I was like, oh, no. I'm like, really? We're gonna push this agenda really quick? And they do. They establish a romantic interest nearly off the bat, which, eerily enough, it was funny when that happened. I was like, oh, no, Naughty Tanya is not going to like that one little bit. But anyway, Naughty Tanya has, like, this general guy who is, like, 16 and apparently totally looks like he's 22. And he's madly in love with her. And she clearly knows it and is just not not allowing herself to listen to
him. He is a guard, and she's a princess, and she
trusts him, but, like, she does. She likes him, but not like that.
Adeletson!
Like, she wants him bad. Like, she is so thirsty. Dropping her into a lake would not quench her thirst enough.
I mean, she's thirsty like Anna from Shimonetta, but without making jizz.
Love nectar. Yes, she is that driven.
She's thirsty.
But anyway, so her guard guy also gets chosen as a brave, and he goes searching for her because that's all the man can think about. And he was the one trying to figure out who was murdering the braves and the saints.
Goldolf.
And he's like, oh, well, we found out who it was, and it's this other saint named Flamey, and she's got white hair, and she carries a gun, and it's at the same time that Adelaide has seen her.
She is the saint of gunpowder.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting, because most of them seem to have abilities that somehow play into elements.
Yep.
A little bit. Yep. But hers is more of like on the alchemy side, the science side of stuff.
And later on, you learn why.
Exactly. I honestly feel like their sainthood is a good way to determine what kind of personality you're going to get from them. But that's besides the point. Long story short, all these guys get together at the place, which is this shrine thing that they have to activate this barrier when they decide to go into the land of the demons and stuff.
In order to block the fiends from being able to enter the realm.
Right, and fuck everybody else's Christmases up.
Yeah, because nobody wants to get there.
But as they arrive there, they get, you know, pretty much ambushed by fiends. And, you know, they're like, well, some of them's got to get to the thing so we can do this ritual and blah, 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 blah. And Adelaide gets sent ahead, and, like, he manages to get there. And with a little adversity, gets into the shrine, which was eerily locked. And by the time he gets in there, the barrier that they were sent to, you know, turn on is already turned on. And once all the fighting is done, the barrier is set and the braves show up and they realize that, one, the barrier should not have been turned on because the way that they were taught how to, they don't think had happened.
Right.
But at the same time, there are 7 braves. And there have never been in the history of this ritual and this rite of passage and stuff, have there ever been 7? And now the barrier is up. They're locked into this area, and they need to figure out who the fake is. So here I thought the whole series was just, you know, this ragtag group getting together and then taking on the bad and, like, developing relationships as they go. But it literally turned into a, hey, here's this overlooming threat that we have to deal with. But somebody here is obviously not a part of Save Humanity. We need to figure out who that is, because obviously the person who is not working on the behalf of humanity is not going to obviously allow the other party members to, you know, take out the demon god. Like, they're going to try to kill people and fuck it up.
Right.
And so then it totally turns into a whole locked room, sealed room scenario where these mixture of saints, because there's some other women who are braves in this mix, who are OP powerful. Like, holy fuck. Because you have the Saint of Swamps. I wouldn't fuck with her. The Saint of Mountains, wouldn't fuck with her.
Yeah, don't.
Saint of Gunpowder, wouldn't fuck with her. And the Saint of fucking Blades. Like, wouldn't fuck with any of these women.
Yeah, don't.
Not at all. And it's really interesting because it throws you into that, oh my god, it's a whodunit. Trying to figure out. And they all seem to not necessarily be overly light characters. Each of them would have, if the motives that were set were accurate, you could see how they would all play out. If that character was in fact
a very, very smart whodunit.
Oh, it's so good. It is so rich. It's like a
question the entire time.
Who it is.
Who it is, because the way that they set up the flashbacks, the questions, and the things that you see, they don't really invent anything that you haven't seen. They just recall it for you, and you're like, oh shit, yeah, that's right. Oh wait. And they make you question, because the entire time you're backing Adelaide and you're so sure that he's not the one, but there comes an episode where they present some shit and you're like,
oh shit, exactly. Like, it is so,
no,
so good. Like, and like, each character, I think, are the type of minds that you would definitely encounter in this type of bit. Like, you would probably get that person who's like, well, it doesn't really matter. Like, Chamut, that freaking
Chamo.
It's freaking Saint of Swamps.
Yes.
Chamo. Like, and she was like, well, we could just kill everybody. Like, because I can just defeat the demon god because I'm that powerful.
And she's like, mad powerful.
She's quite powerful. And she obviously has no problem killing people.
Nope.
If she finds
them. And you know, I mean, hey, here's the thing. Kids give no fucks.
Nope. That's right. They give zero. But the amount of thought into how you get all these guys together, and when they finally reveal who is the fake Brave, which I'm going to tell you guys right now that I had it figured out 3 episodes before the last episode. Because I got, and I just have instincts. Like, I'm just naturally good about people. Like,
and by that, you mean you looked it up on the web, because no, you were completely wrong about another.
No, I did not look it up. I did not look it up. But the other friend who had asked me about it, she was like, how far are you? And I'm like, I'm right here. I don't like this person. This person went full yandere in like 2.5 seconds. You can't trust the bitch who can go yandere in 2.5 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm like, you remember Yuna? You know, from freaking Future Diary? Sorry. Didn't trust her the minute she went all, Yuki. No. No. You just don't. So the minute that, because there's a character, I'm not going to say who, but when this character literally flips script, you're kind of like, I don't know how much I trust you now. Like, I want to, but something in my gut tells me don't. Like, it's the R. Kelly song. My mind's telling me don't. And I didn't. And I was absolutely happy with myself when I was right. But anyway, they figure out, by sheer luck, by the end of it, Adelit figures out enough of the mystery to expose the fake Brave. Plot gets revealed, intentions have been said, bad guy disappears, and the barrier dissolves, blah, 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 and they're trying to heal Adelit because he got fucked up in the process. Like, talk about being a true hero, taking it in the butt. He took it in the butt, in the arms, and in the side, because he got stabbed a lot. He got hurt.
Stabbed, like,
he got hurt so bad. And as they're, like, trying to patch him up and, like, trying to make sure that he doesn't die because he's obviously a true babe, another person comes running through the forest because the barrier is down. And it's this cute little, like, girl-ish. Yeah, it's a girl. And she kind of is wearing, like, cow armor, which was kind of weird. And she introduces herself as the Saint of Blood. And she opens up her, like, armor to her degletage, and she has a mark. So the whole first arc ends with, well, we had one fake, now we potentially have another? And it's so good. Like, I can't wait for the second arc of this, because, one, it had a great opening song, had a great ending song. The story was well fleshed out. You believed all the characters and their motivations. So you could definitely, like, if they wanted to make this like a game, like a light novel game where somebody else is, like, if there are different scenarios where different ones are the actual fake Brave, they would all make sense. Right. Due to their motivations, like, if they were going to flip script like that. And, like, I'm in love. And I don't fall in love with series very often. Like, but this, like, if this got printed onto DVDs, I would buy it. That's how good the series is. And I can't.
Roka is good. It's
Roka really is so good.
The action is amazing. I think the way that they pose some of the characters and how different relationships, friendships happen and don't happen.
Right.
I think is really interesting, because as you start watching the series, once you get like 3 episodes in, you, if you're a fan of anime and you've watched any action anime, you already start going, okay, so here's what's going to happen in the next 2. This person's going to end up getting paired with this person, because that's the trope that we do here. This guy's going to want to be Captain Save-A-Ho, because that's what he does, because, you know, he's the hero that, you know, Gotham needs, not the one that they want. Right. Like, you know, and then you've got, okay, this guy over here seems like a douchebag, but in the end, it's going to turn out that he's actually just as honorable as the hero. He just is quiet about it and not overt about it, and will, you know,
and oh my,
but in order to make it happen.
Can we talk about how they definitely blended different types of, like, moe types of characters. Because, like, you had your you have your stoic person who barely says anything, and he's blindly loyal to another character.
Goldove.
And, yeah. And, like, in those last few episodes, like, he totally became, like, a raging vagina. Because, like, oh, my feelings are hurt. Boo-hoo. But I'm like, oh, my God. Get over it. Like, I would be like, here's a journal. Write some freaking sad poetry in it. And read it in 10 years when you're a fucking adult. Yeah. Like, it just didn't make any sense. And then, you know, you had your archetype of, like, the protective mother to, like, the kid, you know, Chemel. And, like, the mothering and, you know, this unstoppable force. And
Mara.
You
know,
and her freaking blind ignorance to wanting to actually figure stuff out. And she's like, I think it's this, and I'm just going to go with that. Like, I loved how everybody had their own kind of stance on stuff. And then the one guy who looks creepy as fuck the whole time, and he looks like a cat, and he has, like, a fake cat tail, and, like, he mastered fighting stuff.
Yes.
And the fighting styles of cats, and, like, the minute you see him, you're kind of like, you're kind of shifty, and he's an assassin, so it makes sense. And, like, at first I'm like, nah, it's gotta be him. He's way too cocky. And, like, you think, and everyone's kind of like, we don't really like this guy. But then he ends up becoming, like, super best buds with Adeline. And you're like, oh, man, that guy's cool. Like, he was shady as fuck at first. And he still kind of is.
No, you thought he was shady as fuck.
I thought he was. Well, I was actually hoping. At first I'm like, well, he's a cat. He's a cat guy. And it's a cat guy and not a cat girl, which was nice and refreshing for once. And they didn't make it, like, he talked like a cat and he formed his, like, fighting style about, like, watching cats fight with swords, I guess.
Yeah, so he's, no, not cats fight with swords.
I know,
watching
I know.
Cats fight.
And he,
and
like,
so
full
he
routine.
Copied their agility and things like that. So
he decided to live his life as, like, a half-cat human hybrid.
Correct.
And, like, the only thing I think they missed out on is eventually once the bonds were made, if, like, eventually he'd, like, purr. Because I was hoping he would purr. He didn't at all. He might in the second season. That would be great because I feel like it would totally suit him. They're all different enough and unique enough that I think if we could see the actual true six come together and fight, I think it's going to be something absolutely brilliant to watch. Like, I mean, in Fushigi Yugi, you had your team, but they didn't all really fight. They didn't all have super, super powers, really. They were all just needed to be present for this ritual. And now you have, you know, this whole team having to sacrifice potentially for the greater good. And it's really, really wonderful. And if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's on Crunchyroll. I don't know if it's on Hulu Plus. I didn't care to look. But it is amazing. Like, utterly amazing.
Roka is great.
It's so good.
So good.
It's like you go to work and, like, you have the worst day and, like, all you want is, like, your favorite food in the whole wide world and you know you don't have it at your home because, like, you just got paid, but you're too lazy from after work and you don't want to go and buy it. You just kind of wish it would just manifest itself in your house.
Yeah, like Chinese food.
And then you come home.
You want it to come to you. You don't want to go and get it.
Well, you just want it to be present. Like, you've had the day, you're like, oh, man, sometimes I just want, like, the best pizza. And, like, you come home and there's the best pizza actually there, like, it's not a hallucination, it's not your mind playing tricks on you, it's actually there, and it is, my mouth is watering just thinking about pizza, but it's like that, it's a surprise, and at first you're like, I didn't get this pizza, so you're like, you're kind of confused about why the pizza's there, but you're hungry, and you know you're gonna eat it, regardless of the fact that it just kind of miraculously showed up. And it's delicious pizza, so, like, it's a win-win. It's a win-win.
Win-win.
So, I am going to be sitting on my hands until season 2 comes out. I'm going to jump into Charlotte next, I think, because someone's like, oh, watch Death Parade. I'm like, been there, done that, check mark next. It's like, hit me with something good. Not that I'm saying Death Parade wasn't good, because Death Parade was quite good. And definitely up my alley, but Charlotte's next on my list.
Well, that's
what I've been doing.
Good one to have on the list. So, with that, it's 5 minutes of destiny time.
All right, let me get... Hold on.
So, while you're getting set up, I'll explain what happens. This is for anyone that's new to the podcast. I am addicted to Destiny, the game by Bungie. And I talk about it a lot because I play it a lot. Pretty much if I'm not working, asleep, or playing another game because I have to get a review done, I'm playing Destiny. Because I play it a lot and I end up talking about it a lot on podcasts, we have decided to give me a 5 minute countdown segment on podcasts when I want to talk about Destiny. And what we do is Panda lines up the counter.
Yep.
And we count it off and I go. And when the buzzer goes off, that's it. I can't talk about Destiny anymore.
That's right. So with that, it is now time for 5 minutes of Destiny with Ninja Sister.
Okay, so in the segment this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about exotics, and I'm going to talk about the raid. I have not done the new raid yet, where you actually take it to Oryx, and if you've got a good enough team, actually kill the motherfucker and send him off flying into space. Because when you finish the story mode of the new Taken King DLC, you actually don't kill Oryx, you just kind of damage him a little bit. You actually have to go fight that bastard after you make it through the damn raid. Alright, so I have watched several friends from my clan complete the raid. It's not crazy difficult, but man oh man, you guys have to communicate. And don't even fucking try it if your light isn't above 290. You'll just get one-shotted, you'll piss everybody off. So if you don't have the weapons and you don't have the light, don't even try it. Just don't even try it. Just leave it alone. As far as exotics go, I still haven't gotten any class exotics yet, and Bungie fixed an exploit that people found using the Three of Coins that you use to increase the likelihood that yellow enemies that you fight drop exotics. It was dropping a little bit too fast, and so there was a mission that you could go in and basically, seven-shot kill the boss and yourself, and he would drop an exotic, and you could just go back and redo it from the spot where you died. With the buff still in place. Oh. So there were a couple of people who, you know, had a bad coinage. And so were able to get, like, 16 exotic engrams to drop. I was not one of those people. I was able to get 3 in a legendary. But I was happy with my 3 in a legendary until they broke it. Being more than a week in now to Destiny's Taken King, I have to say, again, it's absolutely worth the money if you enjoyed the other DLC in the games. There's just so much to do and there's so much dialogue and there's story now that you can actually understand and follow. There are quests that I want to complete, not just because I want to get the weapons and the buff, but I want to know what the story is, and I want to complete the story. And that didn't exist in Destiny before. So kudos to the Bungie team for finally getting that right. Please make PvP less of a pain in the ass to do, because I'm really tired. Still, there are cool things that I want to do that I still have to do fucking PvP. Stop trying to make me do PvP. I don't want to do it. Don't make me do it. It's an option. It shouldn't be a requirement. Just like PvE should be an option, not a requirement. Just come on, guys. Do this for me, and we'll be bestest buddies forever. And even if you don't give me an exotic sniper, even though you gave everybody in my clan one, or in some cases 4, I'll forgive you. Okay? So if you could please, that would be great.
Is that it for you? Nothing else?
Not now, because you didn't play with me my 2 dates this week, so I went 2 days without playing Destiny. So, yeah, that's it. That's what I got, because you ditched me.
You still have 2 minutes.
Okay, well, there's 2 more minutes of Destiny. I got that. All right, so I think probably one of the most interesting things that I've done in Destiny is that I've been completely focused on beefing up my Hunter. Haven't even run through any of the new DLC in my other 2 characters, so my Warlock does not have my 3rd subclass yet. I haven't finished beefing up my 3rd subclass, the Nightcrawler, on my Hunter yet, but I have amassed almost a full vault because I don't want to dismantle any weapons, because I'm like, I could infuse them into other things, but they're not more powerful than that thing. So I think I'm just about at the point where I'm about to actually have to take all the stuff in my vault and dismantle it, because of the 72 things I can hold as far as weapons go, I have 69 in my vault. So so I think I'm gonna have to start killing off my old perps that only do 160 damage, because I'm finding new greens that do like 234 that I'm just going to put in the vault for my other 2 characters when they start the run.
Well, that's nice.
Because my Hunter is a giver, not a taker.
Oh. Yeah. Is she?
She is. Oh. It's, you know, what makes her human. So there's that. And when people stop punking out on playing with me, I will have more things done. Because I have like 3 quests that I can't do unless I'm in a full fire team. So...
Fire team.
Yeah, fire team. Fire teams are good.
I have one of those.
But, yeah. Seriously, Taken King, I'm so in love. So in love. I will be playing...
Like crazy in love? Like Beyonce crazy in love?
I'm like dangerously in love.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's how deep it is. Okay, well, when the Bee Gees are like, "How deep is your love?" I'm like, I'm dangerously
deep.
In love.
Like balls deep?
I'm talking about balls deep in love.
Oh my.
That's yeah.
Deep.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and that's...
And that's my 5 minutes with Destiny.
That's it.
It'll be longer, and I'll probably end up getting cut off next week, because I will be playing a lot this week. There's a segment, so... That. If you've enjoyed this show, and I hope that you have, make sure that you check it out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can check out the archives and all of our previous shows, as well as all the great things that I and the rest of the team write, including our newest member. So glad to have Byrick on the team. I'm thrilled to have her be part of the team. So make sure that you check out the website and her first article, which is live on Beyond Eyes, which is a phenomenal game. If you haven't had a chance to play it, check out the review. And trust me, you'll want to play it on the Xbox One. But make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. Either hit us up on the website and bookmark the podcast feed, or visit the iTunes store either on your desktop application or in the podcast application on your iOS device, and search for the ESH Cast or Electric Sisterhood and subscribe. That will ensure that the moment we put out brand new podcasts for the week on the web, you get them in your little device or hot hands to listen and enjoy for your ear holes. And if you want more enjoyment, then make sure that you check out all the other great shows and websites that our team puts together. Everything from J-pop to indie rock, music, movies, entertainment. You'll find it at No Borders, No Race on the B3Crew.com website. If you're into all kinds of music, and I'm talking EDM, trap, house, deep trance, then make sure you go to Geek Aggro and check out the podcast there, hosted by the homie Deuces Wild, on hiatus right now, but the archives are full of some really, really great mixes, so make sure that you check those out. Also, if you're into TV show recaps and just, you know, chatting about stuff that's on your mind, make sure that you go to theissuesprogram.com. Check out the stuff that has been created by The Issues Guy. On hiatus, but coming back soon, you will be able to enjoy to its fullest Recap This, Recap That. And always, always, always happy to be able to say this. Part of FAM is the Structure Network. If it's nerdy, if it's geeky, the Structure Network is covering it. Movies, TV, wrestling, unboxes, music, all of entertainment is covered at thestructurenetwork.com. So make sure that you check out everything that Quicksilver, the homie, and the rest of the team is putting together over there. Tell them that we sent you, because we love that stuff. And as always, gotta give a shout out to everyone that makes up the Land of Esh. I love you. I love the work that you do. You people make my life awesome. And everyone that supports us, listening to our podcast, sharing our content on social. I heart you bitches. Seriously. You're the shit.
Hashtag
I did this week.
I heart you.
Hashtag I heart you. Oh, and make sure that you watch our Twitter, because we're going to be giving away beta code entries to Gigantic this week. So watch the Twitters. Watch the Twitters so you can win. And Facebook. We'll do them on Facebook, too. So, with that, as I've already said, the shit that I'm digging this week. What shit are you digging this week, sis?
Mystery and intrigue.
Those are both good.
Yeah.
I find no fault and or issue.
They're awesome.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace, bitches.